In a 2020 article about Jesus' parables, author Josh Porter writes, "Imagine looking at a painting in an art museum. In a line of similar framed pieces, one particular work catches your eye. There are intriguing colors and shapes, but no discernible rhyme or reason to them. The painting speaks to you, but the exact meaning isn't clear to you at first glance. Art, he says, is created to communicate something, but we may not know exactly what it communicates. And this begs the question, if an artist has something to say with their work, why not say it in a less ambiguous way? We would argue, Porter writes, that this approach would stifle the message rather than amplify it. And he says, we think Jesus might agree. Jesus, we know, liked to teach a lot by means of parable. In all four of the Gospels, Jesus is telling parables. Sometimes without naming them, the Pharisees would know that just from hearing the story that Jesus was criticizing them. But they couldn't reprimand him without admitting that they know they do the wicked thing, that they do the thing that the wicked person in the parable has done. The stories he told were colorful with memorable characters, but not always easy to understand. And this frustrated even his disciples. Consider these few verses from Matthew 13. It says, the disciples came and asked Jesus, why do you speak to them in parables? They also wonder why he doesn't come out and state clearly who he is. And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. The reason I speak to them in parables is that seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. For the most part, Jesus didn't state clearly to them either who he is or what he was doing. Their hearts were open to him, so they were able to watch carefully and with care, watch him with an open mind, and gradually they began to realize it for themselves. You could almost say that his life was a parable, but not in, it was historical. I don't mean that as anyway, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole right now. But Jesus' answer is confusing. Why would he teach in that way when he knows that many will not understand? Because understanding the mysteries of the kingdom of God is a matter of the heart, not of the head. And many people have simply hardened their hearts against God and don't want to hear it. He could try to explain the truth in head language, but then the people would simply claim, well, I disagree, right? When you tell a story, the information is irrelevant, but the undeniability of the principle becomes obvious. When Jesus asks, which one of these was the man's neighbor, the listeners have to either confess the obvious truth or lie to themselves and willfully harden their hearts even more. Jesus wants them to confess the truth, but he sadly understands human nature. This is the idea behind a famous quote that is, you've probably heard it, it's commonly attributed to social theorist Stuart Chase. And this quote says, for those who believe, no proof is necessary. For those who don't believe, no proof is possible. Many aspects of the Christian faith cannot be scientifically proven and never will be, right? But that doesn't mean we can't believe it. That doesn't mean the Christian faith isn't rational. As believers, we listen with open minds and hearts, and we're convinced of the truth of the gospel. But those who will only believe if they're given proof, well, they'll never get it. They'll never get that. When we read the Gospels, Jesus' parables can be just as hard for us to understand. We have an extra layer of problem, and that is the recovery of their original meaning in context before we can then try to interpret them for our lives. We don't live in a time where people stand around in the village square in the morning waiting to be hired on as day laborers. That's not a part of our reality. And if we, in the case of the Good Samaritan, if we come across someone lying almost dead in the street, we can take the phone out of our pocket and call 911. Although the dilemma of our time is knowing whether the person lying in the street is actually almost dead and in need of an ambulance or just sleeping and wanting to be left alone. So we weigh that dilemma in our mind. So we have to ignore the details and dig in a bit more to understanding the principle that Jesus is teaching. The truth remains, though, that if our hearts are open to what Jesus is saying in the parables, we have to confess that we don't always live up to the principles that he's teaching. These two parables are interesting to put head to head. The Good Samaritan, the parable of the Good Samaritan is only found in the Gospel of Luke, and the parable of the workers in the vineyard is only found in the Gospel of Matthew. So they'll reflect the bent of the particular gospel writer. They're included as a support for what that gospel writer was trying to communicate. The parable of the Good Samaritan is familiar to us, right? We learned it first when we were little kids in Sunday school, many of us, along with Noah's Ark and the story of Zacchaeus. Although the Good Samaritan didn't get the fun little song like the Lord told Noah to build an arky-arky, or Zacchaeus was a wee little man, right? We know those songs. Good Samaritan didn't get a song, as far as I know. But it's a great Sunday school lesson because it's easy for us to understand that the people who walked by a person who was clearly in need was in the wrong, that those people were in the wrong in Jesus' mind, and the one who stopped to help was the one who was kind, the way Christians are meant to be. Then we look inside our own hearts and we ask ourselves if we're behaving in ways that are kind, or if we're really willing to help those in need. As we get beyond Sunday school, we learn a little bit more nuance about the parable. The priest and the Levites were leaders in Judaism who said, in God's kingdom, all earthly gradations of rank will be equalized. Right? But this is not what we, as we might imagine, a comment on social justice. This parable was told actually to Jesus' disciples, as Ron mentioned. He's talking to the disciples who were asking about who was going to, you know, have more prominence in the kingdom. And so he's telling this to the disciples, not to the rich or to the leaders or to the Pharisees. The disciples thought that because they had given up everything to follow Jesus, that they would be first in his kingdom. They would be given priority in the kingdom of God, while those who joined him later would be ranked lower, right? This parable tells us, though, that the people who were in the square waiting and didn't get called into action until late in the day must have been probably some way damaged, maybe undesirable as workers for some reason, but they still had the same needs. And so the landowner, who always represents God, values those who are unloved in this world just as much as those who think they have a privileged status. And that's what he was trying to remind his disciples. Nobody is of greater or lesser value in God's kingdom. He invites everyone into his kingdom, no matter what the circumstances of their past. And he calls them all equally his beloved children, the late adopters on equal terms with the ones who came to the kingdom early. Likewise, the parable of the Good Samaritan is a very striking way for Jesus to say that in God's kingdom, all people are equally deserving of Jesus' love and care and healing. Israel's God is the God of grace for the whole world. And for us, it's a call and a challenge to extend that grace then to others. It's a grace that invites unwanted workers to come and be equals in God's kingdom, and that doesn't leave broken and hurting people lying half dead on the side of the road. It's the grace that we extend to others because it was first extended to us. When we were sinners, broken, undesirable, feeling unloved, even unworthy of love, Jesus picked us up, invited us, and poured out his healing grace on our lives. May we have the ears to hear, the eyes to perceive, and the hearts to understand the message of God's life-giving kingdom as he taught in the parables. Thanks be to God. Amen.